To Hebrews chapter 11, we've been looking at the winners of the faith, and tonight we want to look at the work of faith, and in particular in one man, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 is our text this evening. Just one verse. One verse. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Notice there it says, "By faith, Noah." Noah is our example of a man who demonstrated his faith by his works. Faith is to trust God without terms. For when God has a big job to do, faith gets the contract. Person can never be a hero unless he is first a hero in faith. And in chapter 11 there of Hebrews, we have that great Hall of Faith chapter. All of these men are heroes, but they're heroes because they demonstrated faith first. For we do not test the resources of God until we try the impossible. When we try the impossible, then we find out that God has adequate resources for any task, even that which to us would seem impossible. Faith can stifle science. It is faith that expects from God that which is beyond all expectations. Noah knew that there was no better way to show his trust than to bury himself in the thing that God asked him to do. And I would say the same thing to you as well. There is no better way to prove your faith than to bury yourself in the work, in the task that God has called you to do. For he found that faith was the key that unlocked the cabinet of God's promises and emptied the contents of its treasures into his soul. Now, Noah walked with God in a day and age when the world, the people were corrupt, when all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 12 tells us. If we compare the days of Noah to our day, we see striking similarities. Corruption abounds, so much so that there really seems to be no shame anymore. We're faced with a world of corruption. And so this verse should be especially interesting to us who live in the last days, because Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37, "As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." God said a flood was coming. Noah's faith was demonstrated by his building of the ark. As the hammers echoed, they were preaching a warning of coming judgment. The unsaved world had ample evidence and knowledge of Noah's faith because he was daily living it. He had a daily testimony that he believed God, that he believed that God said what God said would happen, that there would be a flood that would come upon this earth, and that he would need a place of refuge during this flood. Noah believed God, and so he set out to work, and every day as the hammers went, every day as people could hear the saws, every day as people would notice Noah and his sons building the ark, they saw a living demonstration of faith. So tonight we want to look at that faith that Noah had. First of all, the foundation of Noah's faith. In verse 7 it says, "By faith Noah being warned of God." He was warned of God. So he had a word from God. Noah's faith was rested upon the truth of God's word. And there is no other place to place our faith but in the truth of God's word, what God had spoken. Could God lie? I don't think it ever occurred to Noah that God would not do what he said he would do. It never occurred to him to doubt the authority of divine revelation. You know, in all probability, the people of Noah's day were probably not any different than our day. I mean, can you imagine this guy building an ark when it ever rained? Can you imagine the mockery and the scorn that he must have endured all through the construction of the ark? I'm sure that people were teasing him. They were scorning him. They were laughing him. They were mocking at him. They probably told him that he was mistaken and that God would send a flood. What? Come on, Noah, be real. God isn't going to send a flood. And it's obvious that they didn't believe it because they just kept on living the same sinful lifestyle right up until the end. It doesn't even appear that they slowed down. They just kept on going. Some probably reminded Noah that God was a God of love. He could not do such a thing. A God of love would not destroy his creation. He wouldn't send judgment. He wouldn't send a worldwide flood. Still others probably insisted that the flood was just figurative language. God could not possibly mean literal water. Nevertheless, by faith, Noah believed God and in the fulfillment of the predicted flood. So he had a word from God, but not only did he have a word from God, he had a warning from God. The flood, type of God's judgment. Noah had warned the people of the coming judgment even to the very day. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 4, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights." Here's God counting down the days even. Judgment is coming. I'm going to send a flood. It's going to rain upon the earth. Prepare yourselves. But judgment came because God kept his word. And in Luke chapter 17 and verse 27, "They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." There was a word from God. There was a warning from God. But there was also a way from God. An ark. The type of salvation. God instructed Noah in the construction of the ark, even to the minute details. I think it's interesting to note the dimensions of this ark. It was engineered to be 6 times longer than its width. Incidentally, we are told that even today, all ocean ships are engineered, designed, and built to the same specifications. It's the same proportions. The ark of salvation for Noah and his family. Of course, our salvation is in Christ. He is the ark of our salvation. And there is no other means by which we can be saved. There is no other ark. Jesus is the only person who can take us to heaven. He is the only place and person of salvation. The pitch is interesting. By faith, Noah followed God's instruction to pitch it within and without with pitch, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. The pitch was necessary to keep out the water. The pitch was necessary to keep out God's judgment. Pitch means atonement. The ark of safety, the ark of our salvation is pitched within and without with the atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the atonement. Thank the Lord for his shed blood, which purchased our atonement. So we see the foundation of Noah's faith. Number two, we see the fountain of Noah's faith. Things not seen as yet, according to verse 7 there of Hebrews chapter 11. History was against the flood. Natural law had remained unbroken for centuries. There had never been a flood. There had never been rain. There had never been divine intervention. No spectacular interruption or violent arrest of the natural law. It just never happened. It never took place. The sky was clear. The heavens were silent. Present appearances were contrary to a flood. They couldn't tell that a flood was coming. Nothing. There were no signs. Nothing that Noah could observe with a natural eye. Nothing that would confirm his faith in a promised downpour. And yet, he believed God. All the evidence up until now is that it had never rained on the earth. All evidence was against him. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground, according to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 6. Strong faith was necessary to accept the seemingly contrary evidences. That's what Noah did. His acceptance of the unseen became the strength of his faith. So let me ask you tonight, how strong is your faith? Your faith, if it's strong, accepts what God says despite circumstances that seem contrary. Even if all the evidence is stacked up against what God has said to you, faith believes God. Faith doesn't believe the philosophy that is against God's word. Faith doesn't believe the evidence that might even be stacked up against God's word. Noah accepted the unseen. Can we do that? Can we accept what God has said, even though we cannot see the results of that promise yet? And according to the Bible, the more we can have faith in the unseen, the stronger our faith is. How strong is your faith tonight? He had a fountain of faith to draw from on the inside. That's where his faith came from. It wasn't by looking at the outward. It came from the inside. Jesus said, remember that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And of course, he was speaking about the Holy Spirit. The more we are full of the Spirit, the more we will be able to have faith in our hearts. Because the Holy Spirit makes Christ real to us. Amen. He illuminates truth. He brings light to truth. He brings revelation about Jesus Christ. And the more we have the Holy Spirit, the greater our faith will be, the more we can walk by faith. We have the foundation of Noah's faith, we have the fountain of Noah's faith, and we have the force of Noah's faith. He was moved with fear. Fear is a motivating factor, whether we like it or not. Notice what this force brought. First of all, it brought conviction. It was the kind of faith that brought deep conviction. I'm not talking about preferences. I'm not talking about opinion. I'm talking about conviction. Conviction is that which causes you to do what needs to be done, even though if you have to stand alone to do it. Conviction is the thing that you will not change or that you won't alter. We might change our preferences, we might change our opinions, but deep conviction will never change. That conviction is what motivated him to move, to start the process of building the ark. And if we have convictions tonight, we will act upon those convictions. Our convictions will cause us to put our faith to work. Of course, the motivation here is self-preservation. That's pretty good, pretty strong motivation. First law of nature, preserve ourselves, save ourselves. Noah obeyed. So this force brought conviction. This force taught fear. Brought conviction, taught fear. Fearing destruction in the flood, Noah resolved to save his life. He was motivated and he was moved by this fear. Should we not also be moved by fear? Listen, I have no problem preaching the judgment of God. I have no problems putting the fear of God into people's hearts. I've heard people say, well, you shouldn't preach fear because you're giving people a wrong motivation to receive Christ. They're just doing it to escape hell. I say, pull them out of the fire any way that you can. Hey, hell is real. The fires of hell are reality. And that's not just preaching fear, that's teaching people the truth. They should be moved with fear. They should fear God's judgment. They should fear missing heaven and going to hell. It's natural. It's wise. The greatest danger sinful man can face is the wrath and judgment of God upon unbelievers. And that should cause them to fear. I think it'll be hard enough standing before God in my shoes. I wouldn't want to stand before God facing all of His wrath and all of His judgment because I rejected the only means of salvation. It is the wise person who will fear God. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. The wise person recognizes that there is a God and that God holds us responsible. And then notice what this fear wrought, a way out. It brought conviction, it taught fear, but it wrought a way out. Noah would have been among the drowned ones if he had not built an ark through fear. Wise and urgent it is for us today to let the fear of judgment lead us to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the ark of safety. Demonstrated to us the foundation of Noah's faith, the fountain of Noah's faith, the force of Noah's faith, and lastly tonight, the fruit of Noah's faith. The fruit was he prepared an ark in verse 7. Just some interesting points here in the building itself. Noah's faith was demonstrated by the actual constructing of the ark. The ungodly world saw concrete evidence of his faith by his daily activity. Again, every sound of the saw and every blow of the hammer preached a warning. And you know what? You are also out there living a life that is a testimony for God. Every day people see you live the Christian life and you are preaching to them through your life. Preaching a warning to them. Your faith is a demonstration to people that you believe God. You believe in His Word. And then just some interesting thing is that there was no pumps mentioned as being aboard this ark. To me, that's another evidence of Noah's faith. There's no need for these pumps because it was built under the explicit directive of God Himself. It could not, it would not leak. Thank God, neither will the ark of salvation. There is no leaks in trusting Jesus Christ for salvation. Then there was no rudder. Additional evidence of Noah's faith was that there was no rudder to guide the ark during its floating journey. God was its pilot. As the ark of salvation, we could say, I don't know if you know this hymn or not. I haven't sang it in a long time. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Hopefully people see the evidence of your faith and that you are being led by Christ. And then the window. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark. Some people think that this window was in the top and opened toward heaven. It surmised that Noah opened it and often looked up and talked with God in prayer. Noah built a boat of refuge that was to carry him across to his inheritance on the shores of a new world. He accepted by faith the great fact God had told him of the new age that was to follow the flood, and he landed safely. It is very simple as to the fruit of the faith of Noah. He won his family because of his faith. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight. As James put it, faith without works is dead. So we not only need to have faith, but we prove our faith. We make our faith living as we put our faith to work. What convictions do you have that you are living for? What convictions do you have that you would be willing to even die for? What convictions do you have that you would be willing to suffer scorn and mockery rather than to let those convictions go, rather than to compromise on those. Those are things that the world notices. Those are convictions that God has called us all to have. I believe tonight that everybody here is in the ark of salvation. So that's not the question. The question before us tonight is, how strong is our faith? How strong is your faith? Maybe the cry of your heart is the cry of mine tonight. Lord, I have to admit that sometimes my faith is weak. Would you strengthen my faith? Would you help me to believe despite evidence to the contrary? Would you help me to be so full of the Holy Spirit that I see greater illumination of Christ day by day? If your cry tonight is for more of that faith, more of that illumination, would you just raise your hand up to the Lord, up and then down? Amen. Amen. Lord, tonight, we want our faith to increase. We want greater faith. We want stronger faith. Because we believe that when you have a big job to do, you call on people of faith to do it, and we want to be a part of those people that you call. Lord, we believe that judgment is coming upon this world. And Lord, I thank you tonight that we are in the ark of salvation, and yet we know of people, even family members, perhaps, that are still not in that ark. We pray for them tonight, Lord. We ask that you would reach down, that you would save them. Lord, that you would bring fear of judgment upon their heart. Part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to convict of sin and righteousness and the judgment that is to come upon this world. Cause them, Lord, to fear that judgment. They would move with fear to receive Christ and make themselves ready for that judgment. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I cannot today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. Lord, I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. Sheltering on, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. The tempest may blow and the storm comes. Okay, yeah, it does. Brightness of life, I'm never alone in the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting and finding in his great love. I'm living by faith. I feel no alarm. Let's try the last verse. Let's try that one. Last verse, verse 4. Last verse, verse 4. Let's try that one. Our Lord will return to this earth someday. Troubles will then all be. Master, so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above.
lost in confining in His great love. From all our sin, He sheltering us, a living body is, and feel no alone.
Amen. Thanks. That's a good song. I like it. I haven't sang that for years, though.